Good afternoon from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White, from virginiasports.com. On Wednesday morning, the early signing period for football began. On Wednesday night, our men's basketball team played in Columbia, South Carolina. I was in Columbia for that game, so I missed all the signing day excitement here in Charlottesville. But we're going to get caught up today thanks to my guest, Justin Anderson, who's in his third year as Bronco Mendenhall's Director of Player Personnel. Justin, great to have you back on the show.
Great to be here.
So what was signing day like on your end? Any drama? Any surprises?
There were a couple little things that we had to work through, but it panned itself out, which is really good on signing day. You know, it's always good to have things end up where you want, and it did. The guys that we wanted to sign, signed, and there was a couple in there that we weren't sure about originally, but it all worked out in the end.
I mean, the class was, at least the kind of the heart of the class has been in place for quite some time, hadn't it?
Yeah, we've had some guys committed to us for a long time, and you know, I think that's helped really with some of the other guys, seeing guys that have stayed through the process. And those guys, I think they kind of go, you know, once a kid gets in, a lot of times they start recruiting other kids naturally because they want to have a good team. They want to be a part of something. So I think that's helped us.
All right. As a brief aside, before we talk players, let's talk technology. This used to be the day that the humble fax machine stole the spotlight. How do players, most players, return their letters of intent these days?
So the way we do it is that, they take a picture of it on their phone.
And just text it in?
Text it in. It's so much easier and so much less stressful, honestly.
Anybody fax it in yesterday?
No faxes. We don't even give a fax number anymore. We say email.
Do you have a fax machine anymore?
We do have a fax machine, very rarely used. So we actually said email or text. Obviously text all these kids nowadays. That's right. How they do it.
This is year two for the early signing period. Do you think it's here to stay?
I think so.
What I think Coach Mendenhall talked, if not yesterday at his press conference recently, I think it was at the press conference in Charlotte before the Belk Bowl, kind of about the challenge of balancing recruiting, particularly or coaching if you're getting ready for a bowl and recruiting in December. Was it more of a shock to everyone's system last year than this year, now that they kind of knew what to expect?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, with the help of administration and Bronco, you know, we've increased our personnel department.
Right.
So now we're able to, while they're coaching and preparing, we're able to continue. The recruiting for us is always going. We're always finding. We're always looking. And I think that's taken a little bit of pressure off them. And so when we find a guy that they really need to see, we can just pull them aside. Hey, you need to watch these guys real quick. We think they can play. And they don't have to really worry about doing that. We kind of tell them, here's some guys, because that's all we're doing. We're finding 24 hours a day, but every waking hour, really.
So 20 players signed yesterday. Do you expect the class to grow before all is said and done?
Yes. So yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all days where people can sign, and there could still be one or two more out there that we would sign for this period. If not, then those that don't will sign for the February signing period.
Yeah, the next signing period, which was for years the signing period, opens February the 6th. So that's roughly 7 weeks from now. What's the recruiting calendar look like between now and then? Or once this closes in a couple days, is it a dead period for coaches, or are they out recruiting?
Yep, so it'll be dead for us, which means no contact on or off campus with recruits. You know, you can still do some of the messaging, mailers, and texting, depending on the class of the kid, et cetera. There's rules that are governing those types of things. So some of that communication can still take place, which will. As far as meeting recruits, going to high schools, that will be dead until January 12th.
For this coaching staff, this is its third full recruiting class. Each of the first two classes produced a number of starters and key players. What are your initial thoughts about this class? And I will preface it by saying, you know, you've never heard a coach say publicly that they weren't happy with their class, but I mean, Bronco spoke yesterday and seemed genuinely excited about this. And what are your thoughts on it? What do you like about it?
Yeah, I think, the hope is every year you kind of get better. I think, you know, the kids we've we've got early that have played early have really helped, and that helps in recruiting a lot of ways. Kids see, well, I have a chance to maybe play early, and I think this is a good class top to bottom. I think we have built depth. I think we've got some guys that will be able to contribute in some role, and you never know. I mean, some of these guys are big, and I think as a whole, if you were to just say since we've been here top to bottom, a really good class. I feel really good about the depth and the quality of player that we've got coming in.
What were the, when you started this process, what did you kind of identify as the big?
Yeah, I think always the most important, parts for every team, at least I think for, is offensive and defensive line. And those are parts that we felt like we continue to need to build and strengthen, building depth and guys, quality of player, not just depth, but quality of the depth player. I think we did that. We've addressed that, and receiver, building some more depth and length there. That's one of the things I think we really focused. If you look at the type of receivers we signed, they are bigger, and we felt like we needed that moving forward.
Yeah, one of those guys and one of the last guys to sign on Wednesday was Nathaniel Beal, who's listed at 6'5", 200. He's from Houston. There's not really a receiver like him in the program now, is there?
No,
and stature.
No, and I think, you know, that's a plus, and that's one of the things, you know, we talked to him about is, you know, we don't have someone like you in the program. There's going to be a chance for you to come in and be a different style of receiver, and you know, being in the ACC now for a couple years, we've played against some big receivers, and you see the success they can have. You know, DBs typically are smaller. You know, I think we recruit a little bit longer DB. You know, look at Bryce and Tim are a little taller, so I think it's going to help us moving forward. They're young, but I think moving forward, it's going to really help us.
Yeah, I mean, I think about it even this year, both years against Indiana, they've had big, tall guys, and you kind of throw the ball up for a jump ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the bigger player can win that battle a lot of times.
Absolutely.
Most of the coaches on the staff came to Virginia from BYU with Bronco after the 2015 season. The first time you were on this podcast, I think I asked you about the learning curve for the coaches when it comes to recruiting and learning their way around the state and the region. Compare kind of where they are as a group now in terms of comfort level in recruiting, you know, and the comfort level of the coaches and players they're recruiting with where you were on day one in 2016.
Yeah, I think that's the fun part. Is I think we have grown as well as our team. You know, I think every year as our team's improved, on the field and off the field, all the things they're doing. I feel like as a staff, myself, our recruiting department, our coaches, I think we're becoming more comfortable now. I think having been through the league a couple times, we know more clearly what we need to recruit to be successful and to accomplish our goals. And I think it's been fun to see that. I think we are comfortable in the state. I think we're gaining momentum. As coach would say, we're not there yet, but I think we have a more clear vision of what we would like to do.
Yeah, you mentioned the in-state recruiting. Four of the 20 live in the Commonwealth of Virginia. How has kind of the reception changed?
Yeah, winning helps.
Yeah,
you know, I think people see, and then they see Coach Mendenhall's resume of building winning programs and a history of success. And I think now it's easy to talk about it, but now, you know, you see back-to-back years of bowl games. You see every year we've improved, and I think they see the way that we do it and with the quality of kid, and I think that now becomes, oh, wow, maybe they can really do this. They've been saying they can, and now I think the reception's getting better, and I think we've done a better job. We can do better, but doing a better job with our in-state coaches and recruits, et cetera.
Yeah, it's hard to keep selling the vision indefinitely if you don't have results to back it up, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were recruiting coordinator at BYU before you came here. You've touched on this, I think, before, but what's the biggest difference between recruiting for BYU and for Virginia or a school in the ACC?
Yeah, there's so much competition for each kid. I mean, you know, as you watch film on kids, you just think, I mean, every kid has – There's so many schools that are recruiting the East Coast, and it's densely populated, big cities. You can get to a lot of kids in a short amount of time and area. And so I think that's the biggest difference is there's a lot of really good players, but there's also a lot of competition.
So the pool is much bigger, but
everybody recruits
more
here.
Competition.
I mean, the West Coast is coming all the way out here to get kids.
At his press conference yesterday afternoon, Bronco thanked Carla Williams for her willingness to beef up the recruiting staff and the recruiting operation. Can you kind of take us through what the operation looks like in terms of, you know, who's in it, how many people are in it now, and compared to how many people when you got here?
Yeah, I think it's really helped. I think it's only going to get better. I think now we're the furthest ahead we've been recruiting than previous years. We know more clearly the young kids that we should be identifying early. And that's because of the type of people that we have working for us and the amount. So I think when I first got here, there were really one, two, three of us. And now we've been able to kind of give people more specific roles because now we have one, two, five.
Yeah, so go ahead and these guys don't get a lot of glory or women. Who are the staff members?
Yes, we've hired Blair Hodges is helping us with their on-campus recruiting, and she's done a tremendous job. She's detailed and has really taken ownership, and I think it's really helped us when kids come here. Bob Price is kind of a longtime UVA guy, and he's got wisdom and provides a lot of background on UVA and knowledge. So he helps with evaluations. So there's Bob, his evaluations, Drew Hickson, who came from Georgia, Zach Bradshaw, former
player
linebacker here. Jordan Arsimon is a kid I coached in Louisiana back at Nichols, and he's helping with evaluations. Nate Crutchfield was at Alabama. He's now helping us with evaluations. Devin Doyle, a former Virginia kid, and I think he coached a little bit in Virginia, so he's back helping us with the state of Virginia. He's got a lot of ties and knows a lot of people. And
And you got Blanda.
Blanda Wolf, who's our high school relations and has a lot of knowledge of the high school coaches and in-state kids. So,
and then Pat Hickman.
Pat Hickman has done a great job with us, and you know, he's kind of our football NFL liaison, so he really has a good eye for what talent is, and so he's really helped. So, you know, you look at all the numbers now we have, I mean, that's a lot of people now just watching film or to more of a specific role. So Blanda can really focus on our in-state high school coaches and players. You know, Blair can really handle that on-campus role, and now it allows me to really focus on evaluation of talent and all the other things that kind of go along with that.
As you get this thing rolling, how important is it to have players going regularly to the NFL? I mean, you had that BYU, you had Micah, you know, made it this year. Andrew Brown's on a practice squad, so is Kurt Benkert. You know, there will be more to come.
Yep.
Is that an important thing to
– Yeah, I mean –
as much as you can sell education – a lot of the players see themselves.
Absolutely.
In the NFL.
I mean, I think most kids want to, every kid, most kids have a vision of playing in the NFL, right? And so the more you can sell, hey, look at the success our guys are having in the NFL, which UVA guys do. They have success in the NFL and has a history of NFL players, so we just need to continue that. And as kids see that, they want to be a part of it. Because now you're not just selling football, but you also have top education and I believe a head coach who's second to none as far as working for and the way he treats his players.
So the newest assistant coach on the staff, Ricky Brumfeld, is from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. You have two players in this class from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Is that just coincidence or?
It helps.
Do his ties. And I know you mentioned Jordan.
Yep, Jordan's from Louisiana. You know, I coached in Louisiana, and now Ricky, who has a lot of ties and relationships there, it absolutely has become a focus and a place we think we can have success in, and relationships matter.
What about those two guys? One of them, Mike Hollins, a running back from Baton Rouge, had about as good a high school career as you can have, and he ended on an incredible note in the state championship. I think five touchdowns in that?
Absolutely.
Four or five, set a state record.
Yeah, five touchdowns, four rushing, one receiving.
Listed at 5'10", 214, which is probably in the range of what Jordan Ellis is. What style
he's
running
physical.
Back is he?
He's physical, but he's also got great speed. You know, I think we got a steal. I think he's one of the best backs in the state of Louisiana, and that's saying something. And not only that, he's a great kid and a great student, and he's going to be He's very physical. He can finish a run. He's got great balance and vision, and then he can outrun you if he needs to. So I think we got a really good running back. I think he's kind of a all-purpose type of a guy.
I asked you about Nathaniel Beale, who's one of the wideouts. The other two, Dontavian Wicks and Dorian Goddard. I mean, Goddard put up record-setting numbers in Tennessee. Dontavian's the other kid from Louisiana. They're both bigger targets, aren't they? Was that a point of emphasis?
Absolutely. You know, Dorian is going to be a mid-year as well for us, and he's big. He's physical. He's got tremendous hands and quickness, and he's very productive. And he's a big athletic. He's a basketball player, so he's going to bring some unique skills. And then Dontavian, we feel like, is kind of a steal. He didn't really have a whole lot going on for him, and we discovered him and felt like he's got a lot of really good characteristics. I mean, he's got a huge wingspan, almost a 7-foot wingspan for a 6'2 wow. guy, which is pretty impressive.
Right now, there's just one quarterback in this class. He's not as big as Bryce Perkins, but he's awful fast and, you know, explosive. What did the staff like about R.J. Harvey, who's one of, what, four Florida kids on the staff in this class?
Six.
Six. What did you like about RJ?
Yeah. So we work with a guy who's pretty awesome. We think we call him, you know, I like to tease him. He's the man around here, and that's Marcus Hagins.
Yeah.
And really, we hope that he's kind of that kind of guy, a great athlete. We think he possesses some leadership qualities, and he throws the ball, and he's very productive. He took a team. What we like is he took a team that's every year they've gotten better, and he took them deep into the playoffs this year in Florida, and he was a key reason behind that. So I think, he doesn't stature-wise, height-wise, you know, he's not going to blow you away. He's extremely fast and productive as both a runner and a passer.
Probably the guy who made the biggest splash, I think, nationally when he committed was Juwan Briggs, the defensive lineman from Cincinnati. How important was it to get kind of someone who's considered an impact recruit like that?
Yeah, I think
and to beat the schools that you beat for him.
Yeah, I think it goes to say that, Coach Vic did a great job, first of all, recruiting him and building a relationship. And then I think it tells other recruits that, oh, wow, you know, why did he choose Virginia? It just piques interest.
Yeah.
I think it helps some of these other guys that maybe say, well, I don't know about Virginia. And then someone, you know, that's well recognized and respected does, I think it helps. And you know, we got another great D lineman from in-state.
Right, Ben Smiley.
Ben Smiley, who we think is going to be a really good player. Excited to have him. And to get a kid from the Virginia Beach area who is a really good player, I think it's going to help us hopefully in the long run as well.
For listeners who have not seen the whole class, you can go to virginiasports.com. The players are listed there with their bios. When you look over this class, you mentioned Dontavian Wicks. Is there someone who you think is maybe seriously underrated in this group?
Yeah, I think Tenye Dixon, a guy that we got late, was originally committed to Temple and committed us from D.C. area. We think he's a really, really good player. But, I mean, if I look at this class top to bottom, I don't know if there's a guy that's not that we don't think can help us.
Right.
Which is good. I mean, every year sometimes you might say, I'm not sure, but this group, you know, Nick Jackson signed late last night, and we think he's a really special.
And he's a legacy too, right?
He is, and we think he's a really good player and athletic and can do a lot of different things for you at linebacker. So there's probably going to be a guy or two on here when we look back and go, wow, he's a steal. And you know, Wicks and Dixon just weren't heavily recruited, so
right.
I guess that's why you would look at those guys as potential steals.
Several players, including Bryce Perkins, Brennan Armstrong, Bobby Haskins, enrolled at UVA last January. How many of these guys right now are likely to be mid-year guys?
Three right now, and that's probably where we'll stand.
Is that which three are they?
So that'd be Goddard, Clary, and Chalmers right now.
Good. Well, I know the immediate focus is on getting ready for the Belk Bowl, and then you're probably hot after the 2020s, aren't you?
Yeah, we're hot after the 2020s right now. It really never stops for us, and it's funny because signing day's over, but you wake up and you're like, wait a second, I still got to keep recruiting. The way it's changed social media, it really is. If you want to get great players, you have to identify them quickly, and when you can build the relationship, you know, there are rules regarding that.
Right.
you need to be one of those guys that can be right at the beginning.
Well, listen, congrats on this class, and good luck with everything. Hope you get a little bit of break, and now you got to focus on the bowl game.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time for our team.
Well, hope to see a big turnout for the Belk Bowl in Charlotte on the 29th. For more information on that game and all things UVA sports, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back after the bowl game with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.